Welcome to the Marshall Pro Podcast. This episode, we have my man Juan Montoya. Not Juan Pablo Montoya, but Juan Montoya. I mentioned that because on his return to IndyCar, I asked him, I never hear you refer to yourself. I never hear you speak of yourself as Juan Pablo Montoya. And he said, nah, in the beginning when I came over here, you know, gave them my full name, and that's just what it became, Juan Pablo Montoya. And then also in Formula One, it became that very formal thing at McLaren, at Williams, at you name it. So anyways, if you ever notice that when I write about him, I might use JPM, but I never actually write Juan Pablo Montoya, unless I have, and then forget everything I just said. Anyways, coming out of the Indy 500, was impressed by his performance, a run to 6th place, started 18th, ran out of fuel, didn't quite make it to the first stop with the motor running, and that really did set his day back. He and his new engineer, Raul Prado, who came over from the AJ Foyt team, worked some miracles to get him back into contention. And the guy hadn't raced an Indy car for 7 months, shows up for the GP race, the road course at IMS, finishes 10th, is competitive there, then is competitive the entire time during the month of May, at least as much as the Penske team was competitive. Keep in mind that really barring Will Power, they were more or less all out to lunch. Qualified directly behind his replacement, Joseph Newgarden, directly in front of Penske's reigning champion, Simon Pagenaud. And worked forward, came home second best among the Penske's behind Helio Castroneves, was 6th overall in the race. Yet another solid thing for him, so just wanted to catch up on that. Definitely flew under the radar, I would say. TV cameras were 100% fixated on Fernando Alonso, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Alexander Rossi, Helio Castroneves, the bigger names running up front. Wasn't a lot of camera time shown to those behind, but if you take a look at the lap chart, you'll see that our boy, Mr. Monterior, was indeed driving his behind off. So wanted to get his thoughts about, hey, what's it been like? Being out of the seat, really strange thing for a guy who's raced full-time for just about ever. What's it like getting to a place where you know you only have one confirmed big race on the calendar? His answer was a bit of a surprise. He also got into what's coming without saying it. Spoke a little bit about Fernando Alonso, reaction to him, and also how, no discredit to Fernando, but his racing at the Indy 500 for his first oval definitely contributed to him looking like a rock star. Spoke about some of the craziness that went on. The race that was, from the outside, pretty damn perilous at times. He said that from inside the cockpit, he saw some of it as well. Singled out one driver, didn't want to mention another, but this is probably the bravest guy on the field. The craziest car control between him and Scott Dixon, just two guys that can hang on to anything at 230 miles an hour yet. When you have Montoya saying, yeah, that was a little bit too much, that was a little bit extra. I thought that was rather revealing. So we touch on a couple other things. Isn't a super long podcast here, but always love catching up with Juan. Straight shooter, supreme, badass, and luckily we're going to have him around for many years to come, just in a slightly different form of racing. Get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes. We also post everything on our Facebook page, Marshall Pruitt Podcast. We're at 160 or so episodes now. And there we go. Business is done. All right. Off we go with my man, Juan Montoya. The one takeaway I had was we need to be in a car more often. What do we need to do to get Roger to keep a fifth car in the grid?
No, honestly, I thought it was really good all month. We were really strong. And, you know, at the beginning of the race, I don't think a lot of people even noticed that we ran out of gas.
Well, yeah, there was that part.
You know what I mean? It's kind of sad. You know, I've won Indy twice, and you know, I've been there four times, and I won it two out of four, going into my fifth one, and you know what I mean?
Kind of shitty that, but that's what it is.
So that aside, I mean, did you feel like you had a car that could have contended without that setback? I mean, it definitely played a role in your ability.
At the end, we were pretty close. You know, we were right there. The problem is it was too late. We were good too late. I felt I was probably as strong as Helio.
Yeah.
But being as strong as Helio wouldn't give you anything, would it? I finished 6th right there with them. You know, I was the only other Chevy that could keep up with them. But the problem is, I think nobody had anything for the Hondas.
They did have that little bit extra.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay, you know what I mean? Some years, it's been the other way, you know? There's a couple years ago when I won, it was the other way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It goes in cycles.
So was it, I guess, in hindsight, and you've only got, you know, it's only 48 hours since the event's been over, but
I thought it was good, you know what I mean? I mean, the guys that I had did an amazing job for me. I had a really good pit crew. I had a really good, you know, working with Raul was really good. With Ron was really good. I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say about it. You know what I mean? I felt I had one of the quickest cars out there from the Chevy side, if not one of the best cars on race trim. You know what I mean? Like, we had a problem with, I'm not sure what happened there at the beginning because we should have had the fuel. We're not really risking anything on the car and it just ran out of gas. So that was kind of surprising. But apart from that, you know, I was making a lot of fuel. Crazy, you know, it's crazy how much fuel I was making. And The problem is when you've done these races long enough and you've been around long enough, you understand that you don't need to race the whole race, you know what I mean? You got to be smart about how you compete the whole 500s. And I think I really get it, you know what I mean? I think I really understand what it takes to win it. And if we would have been a little better, if we would have done the change we did in the last stop, maybe a stop earlier, we would have been much better.
Hmm.
Because, you know, I went from running, you know, 9 to 12 to 6 with contention to a top 3 finish.
So you had some fun, I forget who it was, but somebody referred to you as an Indy specialist, and you had a little bit of fun with that. In hindsight, were you able to enjoy the month, knowing that this was kind of the only IndyCar race on your schedule for the rest of the year? Are you
Yeah, it was fine. I think people, in a way, I mean, that is a good problem. People kind of miss having me around. That is good, you know what I mean?
Well, we didn't miss you. I mean, we were a little mad you were there, but, you know, we put up with
exactly.
You.
Exactly. Everybody else did, yeah.
But fair point, though, because not only, A, great to have you back, but, yeah, I think to your point, a lot of folks who don't know you or didn't understand that, you know, it is strange not having you there around full time. But I don't know if you felt that or if it felt strange packing up Sunday going, well, Jesus, this might be another year till I get to do this again.
Not at all. That's the thing. It's not. Like, I'm really comfortable where we're going with Penske. I'm really comfortable where everything is at the moment. So I'm happy.
Do you think that's in part because you get to spend more time with your son at this stage in your career? How's this? 10 years ago, I don't think you'd be saying you were happy if you were doing one of these a year.
I think we got to be a little patient to see when all the cards play out for the next few years and how things line up for the next few years. And when that happens, I think it'll make more sense to everybody.
Fair enough. And I will enjoy covering you when those cards play out in the years to come. But there's also a part of me that saw Sunday that there's every reason you should be in the series full time. Maybe,
I don't know. You know what I mean? It's crazy if you look at it. Out of the top 6, 4 guys are over 40 years old. That's a bit of an indication what it takes to win the Indy 500.
You know, this is one of the few races on the circuit where the more knowledge you have, it really can influence where you finish.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, I'll give an example. I'm not going to say the name. I was following somebody in practice Thursday, I think. Either Monday or Thursday, and the last practices. And I was following him, and I actually pitted because I thought he was going to hit the wall. Hmm. I was like, this is just dumb. You know what I mean? So I think I see things a little different, and you see things a little more clear. So I think it surprises people. You know what I mean? If I'm not comfortable, I don't even do a lap. There's nothing to prove to say that you can drive a loose race car. I can, but I can probably drive it looser than 90% of the people on that grid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've not interested.
No, I've seen it.
Exactly. But at the same time, do we really need to do that?
So you were probably, on this one exception, the second most popular Spanish-speaking driver in the event, but altogether between yourself, Fernando, Oriol, Munoz, etc., not a bad day. What did you think about Fernando's performance and everyone's performance in general?
You know, I wouldn't expect anything less from Fernando. I think the people that expected less don't really know, you know, how good of a driver Fernando is.
Yeah.
I think if it was a different oval, I think it would have been a lot harder. I think Indy is the most road race. Is the most road race oval of all. You know what I mean? It's 90-degree corners. It's single line. You don't have to run a high line. You don't need to. You know what I mean? So as an oval, I think when you come from road racing, Indy is actually the most comfortable oval of all.
Hopefully we'll get him back and Oriol back, and we can keep having more fun, because that was pretty damn intense. I don't know what it was like for you inside. It doesn't seem like you get phased by an awful lot, but at least watching from outside, that was one of the craziest, most intense races Indy 500 I've seen in a long time.
I think it was a good show. I think everybody wanted to show. It's interesting right now because I think some people saw opportunities that they normally don't see. I think as they were so, you know, as Honda was so strong, I think a lot of people that don't normally would run up front had opportunities to perform well, and they were going, you know what I mean, do or die. You know, you look at best example is look at Oriol and those restarts. I mean, why? Yeah, for me, maybe for him, he saw an opportunity to go there and gain the places he needed to gain to try to win the race. But for me, it was like, why are you doing that?
There was a lot of testosterone flowing on Sunday. That is that is for sure.
No, honestly, I'm happy. I finished happy. I felt we did a really good job all month. Didn't get in trouble at all. Qualified best, you know, compared with my teammates. It's been my best qualifying of all the years. That is good. That it was really encouraging. And I felt we raced good. I felt, you know, we had that problem at the beginning of the race and got us behind a little bit. And I think we just... Yeah, it's hard because it's my first oval race with a new race engineer. So it's not, you know, I mean, my teammates are doing the opposite of what I'm asking. It makes it really hard. You know what I mean? If my teammates saying, oh, you know, you need less of this or more of this, and I go, oh, no, you need the opposite, they're going, well, your teammates are doing the opposite and they're happier.
Mm.
And I'm going, well, I don't know. They're right here with me. You know what I mean? They're not really running away from me.
Yeah.
In the last stop we did it, and we were really strong. You know what I mean? I was right there with TK. The problem is, being realistic, with 10 laps to go, when you're running six, you're not going to win the race. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. You know what I mean? Are you really, as you know, when everybody's running against the line, you're going against Hondas when they got more top end than us, and everybody, you know, you need to get out of the draft to pass. You know, at that point it was impossible. So unless it was a clear opportunity of passing, it was not really worth risking the car, you know what I mean? That's where I've done this long enough to know that. You know, I think Fernando brought new media, international media, to watch this. So overall was a good day.
I'm with you. I think Takuma added 5 years to his career with all the support and energy he's brought from within Honda and his sponsors. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think the TV ratings were unfortunate, at least in North America. But outside, I'm hoping the numbers end up being good. And it seems like we did some good
international work. It's amazing because anybody, a lot of the Formula One media that watch the race internationally, they go, you know, this was the passing, this was great, but it wasn't the Formula One race. It was the actual IndyCar race.
Yeah.
Everything we were hoping for happened in the, you know, in the IndyCar race.
And that was my boy Juan Montoya. Always love catching up with that dude. He is seriously, seriously hilarious, and also gives you a lot of hell, and that's something that I love too. Most of the drivers that I enjoy spending time with, either on a personal level or professionally, they aren't necessarily nice and polite and quiet. They F with you and mess with you, and yeah, that's just, to me, part of the fun, part of the camaraderie. All right, well, another episode down. I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Thank you for listening.